97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. You know, I'm hearing some mixed news this morning regarding these jobs numbers, and I thought this was pretty interesting. The Dow, everything dropped a little bit upon this because the job numbers missed expectations. Although the unemployment rate stayed at about the same at 4.2%, which is supposedly in line with the expectations. But there are some reports this morning on Fox Business and some other places that there are already revising the July, the June and July numbers, Kim. Did you know that?
I mean, how are they expecting us to believe anything now that's reported when they overshot by just like a mere 817,000?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. There are already revisions for June and July, and according to them, Varney on Fox News, it shows a weakness in the economy. I don't know. People are still saying that they think the Fed may cut rates. But this is what Lauren Simonetti reported just a few minutes ago on the Fox Business Channel. Listen to this, and you can take it for yourself. I don't know how you trust anything they say anymore if this is true. Listen.
All right, Lauren Simonetti, going back to you. You got more.
Revisions here. So in June, the number was revised lower by 61,000. So that takes you to 118,000 from 179. And the change for July revised down by 25,000 from the 114K. So that takes you to 89. So together, employment in June and July, 86,000 lower than previously reported.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't even know if I believe that. I would still probably argue fewer jobs were created than even the revised numbers, what those reflect.
And you know, if job growth is slowing down like that, the Fed may need to ease up on money restrictions a little bit. Maybe they go for a full 0.5% interest rate drop when they meet I think it's 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half.
Well, that could impact the housing market, right? I think that's going to be one of the direct impacts.
But it's going to hurt the stock market today, right? That those numbers are so much lower than they've been telling us. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. Coming up, we're going to get to Ryan Wiggins, of course. So Wiggins America here at the bottom of the hour. Some new polling numbers out. And I'm always interested to get Ryan's take on this because he really digs down deep into this. And there's always that belief that Donald Trump is underestimated in most of these polls. If you look back at the last two elections, particularly in these swing states, his vote totals were underestimated by anywhere from 1 to 4% in most of these swing states. Now they're calling it either a tie or he's up slightly or down slightly. But is that even true? What do you believe? We'll talk to Ryan about that at 8:35. But first, Carl, let's get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm a small business owner.
Good.
The 4 years of your presidency, Mr. Trump, were the best economically I have experienced in the 35 years I own this business.
Wow. One of the Trump supporters the other night when talking to him at that town hall meeting and expressing, you know, how good things used to be. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And her answer was clearly no.
We're going to open up our country to building homes inexpensively so young people and other people can buy homes. You can't buy them anymore. Reviving the American dream. It's about the American dream.
Yeah, it's true. And there are ways to do that without claiming you're going to hand out $25,000 in cash, which just raises the price of the home by $25,000.
When you think of like shooters and how they act or things that they do, it's usually the quiet kid, or like that's what stereotype for it to be. And he was the one that fit that description in our class.
Yeah. That is one of the classmates in Georgia who knew the kid, this Colton Gray, who is now charged with murder. They're now charging his dad as well. That court hearing underway right now down in the state of Georgia.
I told our attorneys that we wanted to appeal this to go to the Western Court of Appeal.
Yeah, that is Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. We had him on the show last hour. In case you missed it, we were talking to him about this court decision, right? Changing the wording on the abortion initiative petition on the ballot. It's going to be completely misleading and benign when you read it. Why, who couldn't support, you know, an initiative petition that protects contraceptive rights, mm-hmm. Kim, and sexual health and
reproductive freedom
yeah. to murder the child that you created in your moment of lust. So just that's what the judge ruled. A biased judge in Cole County sided with Planned Parenthood. They're going to change the wording on this ballot. And now they got to get it printed up. And the question to Jay Ashcroft was, will you appeal? Well, yeah, they probably will try. But you're facing a real deadline now because they need to have this ballot language approved so that when early voting starts, I believe on the 22nd.
October 22nd, I thought.
No,
it,
September.
Oh, September. Missouri was.
Yeah, but the first early voting through absentee with excuse is like as early as late September.
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah.
The 22nd or 23rd. So they've got to get this figured out here quickly. This is what they changed the wording to from saying that it would enshrine abortion into the Missouri Constitution, which it will. The judge softened it up to say, quote, a yes vote establishes a constitutional right to make decisions about reproductive health care, including abortion and contraceptives, with any government interference of that right presumed invalid, and removes Missouri's ban on abortion, allows regulation of reproductive health care to improve or maintain the health of the patient, and requires the government not to discriminate in government programs, funding, or other activities. In other words, the legislature couldn't go in and cut funding for any sort of abortion services or anything like this. What it does is enshrine abortion into the Missouri Constitution. It's not about contraception. It's not about IVF. It's not about a DNC. It's not about any of those things. It's about abortion up to the date of birth. And this judge is going to deceive people with the wording he put on the language. So when you have low information voters, which let's face it, a lot of these folks that wear the pink hats are pretty low information voters. They vote with their heart and not their head. They're going to go into the and they're going to read that. And that's exactly how they're going to vote. This is what the Secretary of State told us an hour ago about the possibility of an appeal.
I told our attorneys that we wanted to appeal this to go to the Western District Court of Appeals on this. But if you'll remember, the Western District Court of Appeals really just ignored the language of the amendment when we were fighting over the ballot title.
Yes.
So I don't have a lot of hope. This is what happens when you have a politicalized system for selecting judges, where you have the Missouri court plan or the Missouri plan. That's very politicalized, and you don't have judges that actually follow the law. You have judges that do what they want to say and, frankly, say things that are inaccurate.
Yeah, that was Secretary of State just a bit earlier. Now, you know, we open up the listener comment line here from the Odyssey app, and we got this one in just a minute ago, Carl.
Hey, just two quick comments on this abortion amendment language ruling by the judge. First, I hope their finances are under a microscope. And second, I'm really tired of this do-nothing supermajority Republican legislature in Jeff City that can't get anything done.
Amen. Amen. The only reason you're worried about this initiative petition at all is because we couldn't get a Republican with spines and leadership in the Missouri Senate to stop it or to approve some reforms where at least on a fair basis, you know, at least 50% plus one in a majority of congressional districts are in support of enshrining this in. That's not a supermajority. That says in each district, you're just ensuring that a majority of people support it instead of letting the population centers of St. Louis and Springfield and Kansas City force this down everybody else's throat.
Can I say one thing really quickly?
Sure.
Speaking to all the men listening right now, someone reached out to me and said that they're God-fearing, they care about people, they have a lot of empathy, but that abortion doesn't affect them, and then that's why they're pro-choice. And he says, I think a lot of men, quite frankly, feel this way. Can I just speak to all the men listening right now? Do not let women bully you into saying you no uterus, no opinion. You have no say in this. You're not the one who has to carry the baby. That is your baby, too. And I'm saying that as someone who used to feel that way. You have every right to fight for life, and you should.
Amen. Yep, do it. I tell you what, coming up, we're going to get to Dr. Patrick Porter, who is a PhD on brain health. And I picked this interview this morning because I'm getting ready to travel to Ohio this weekend to celebrate my aunt's 100th birthday. Is there anything you can do to increase your odds of seeing a 90th or a 95th or 100th birthday? We're going to get to that issue when we come back. Yeah, Carl, I did see Loverboy this past weekend. They don't look like
great.
They used to, but they sounded pretty good. Woo! Those guys got old. I don't know. That hasn't happened to me yet, but everybody around me seems to be aging. Speaking of which, this Sunday, today I'm leaving, but I'm taking my mother to Ohio where I grew up. And this Sunday, there is a surprise birthday party for her older sister, who will turn 100 years old tomorrow is her birthday. Now, I don't know if I got graced with that DNA or what, but we got Dr. Patrick Porter on the phone right now, who is an expert in brain health and the founder of BrainTap, in fact. And I'd love to get his opinion on this. Doctor, welcome in. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so I got an aunt who's about to turn 100. Does that mean I got a shot at it?
Well, you have a 50% chance, right? You get half her DNA. Or maybe 25% for the aunt. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no kidding. You always wonder about that. But, you know, it's a matter of if you're going to live to 100, you want those to be quality years. Let's put it that way. She's been blessed by that. She's still been active right up until now. She loves to go out to eat. She loves to go shopping. I mean, she can still do those things. But you've been working on this for years, right? Keeping people active, and part of that's working on their brain.
That's right. Yeah, they call them super agers. She would be one of them. That'd be for sure.
So tell us a little bit about BrainTap. What does that do?
Well, BrainTap, we designed a technology that helps people to balance their brain waves. And what we're finding now is that electrical activity in the brain can be manipulated or trained. We call it brain fitness. Just like going to the gym, working out the muscles, you can work out the different regions of the brain. It sounds like your aunt has been doing those things by getting out, doing things. A lot of people become too sedentary as they age, and that's a real deterrent to the brain.
So what kinds of exercises, like brain exercises, would those include?
Well, there are a lot of different brain exercises. Any physical activity is going to build what's called neuroplasticity, which means more energy to the brain. But after you exercise, it's important you do some kind of mindfulness practice. We use light, sound, and vibration at BrainTap in an app that trains the brain to do that. But you can do it by doing breathing exercises. There's some simple breathing exercises like a 4-8 breath before going to bed, which exercises the nervous system. A lot of people get in a state of stress and don't know how to get out of it, and that's one of the ways. Breathing into the count of 4 and breathing out to the count of 8 is a great way to unlock the nervous system. And because the brain actually controls the nervous system, this is key to it. So getting out, walking even, swinging your arms and walking, brisk walk is really good for the brain. And a lot of people think it's like doing crossword puzzles or these brain teasers. Those actually stress out the brain. And, you know, so when you stress the brain, you need to have recovery. You can't just keep stressing it. You know, you have to have recovery time.
So I went to a local chiropractor here for a while who was doing something where he would put you on a bed and put some earphones on you, and you would listen to almost like meditations in the background. Is this similar to that?
It might be one of our doctors. We have 5,000 clinics around the country doing BrainTap. Yeah, did it use the goggles with the visor lights? Or
I don't remember visor lights, but I remember having the headphones put on and just, I mean, I get up at 3 a.m. every day. You lay me down and I'm going to sleep. But I do remember them putting the headphones on and you know, just not incantations, but meditation, right?
Yeah. What we're doing is we're using light, sound, and vibration to, the brain has what they call mirror neurons, which match whatever's happening in the environment. So we're going to use the cues of our nervous system, like visual, auditory, and kinesthetic cues, to train the brain to move into these different states. So what they did was they put you on the headset. I mean, I know we have Dr. Naputi, who's there in town, who Naputi Wellness, which is a big clinic there that uses the brainwave technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know Dr. Eric for sure. Well, listen, a fascinating subject. We appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Porter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You bet. Brain Tap, it's called. So, Carl, I'm assuming that if I laid down and put on the Best of Both Worlds Part 2, that wouldn't help? You don't think that would be relaxing enough?
Why not?
It couldn't hurt, right?
I know Carl's making...
Sammy Hagar.
That is not what is recommended.
No.
I know Carl's making fun of me for eating 2 donuts this morning, and I acknowledge that, okay? However, and I've said this before, but food is so crucial to our health. There's so many artificial
donuts?
Additives. I'm not proud of the donuts I've eaten this morning, and I know what I did. I'm just saying. Food, like I believe, is causing so much disease, and people call RFK crazy for saying stuff like that.
Yeah, I think
he is
right.
Spot on. I know better. I'm just not doing better. I try.
Is this relaxing you, Mark?
Right here, right now, baby. I'm feeling better already.
Turn on some like Limp Bizkit. That's what I think they would recommend,
we'll
right?
We'll be back with Wiggins in a minute.
Will polls underestimate Donald Trump again? Welcome to the Real Clerk Quick Take. In 2016 and again in 2020, national and state polls consistently underestimated Trump's support. This was especially true in Wisconsin. In 2016, polls underrated Trump's finish in Wisconsin by a whopping 7.2%. 4 years later, pollsters again missed badly in the Badger State, this time by 6.0%. In Pennsylvania, pollsters underestimated Trump's strength in 2016 by 2.8%, and in Michigan by 3.9%. 4 years later, the RCP average was spot on in Pennsylvania, while polling in Michigan was better but still underestimated Trump's performance by 1.4%.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Ryan Wiggins in the house. And Ryan, I thought that report from Real Clear Politics, which is sort of a clearinghouse for polls, is pretty eye-opening. You hear all these polls, this swing state is tied, Trump's up 0.1 here, Harris is up 0.1 there. But all of these polls in the past have underestimated Donald Trump's support. All of them.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they've uniquely underestimated Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because they've done decent in the midterms. But the presidential years, the last couple cycles, they have consistently underestimated Donald Trump. Now, what I've been looking at suggests that they still are. I don't think that they've adjusted their model. It would be stupid of them to adjust their models for one person. However, that one person is now running 3 consecutive cycles.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a professional spot for them to be in, a tough spot, because the model typically does work, but Donald Trump consistently beats that model. So it's a weird spot to be in. I don't think they've adjusted for it again this year.
I just wonder why. I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and they're like, you know, a lot of people who are going to vote for Trump might not admit it to somebody in the conversation. They don't like the guy personally or whatever, but they know his policies were better, and they know that she's a complete left-wing wacko who's going to destroy the United States economy single-handedly with some of her crazy ideas. They're just not going to take a phone call from a complete stranger and admit to them that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Is that part of the problem, in your opinion?
It is. I think it's less so now because become so, you know, it's Donald Trump again and again. Like, okay, we know what we're getting, but there still are those people that they're calling the hidden Trump voter in the polls because they don't show up in polls. The people probably exist, but how much they're going to exist this year, we'll see. The fact, though, that the polls are closer this year than they have in the last 2 presidential cycles, they have been, is good for Donald Trump. It's why you see Nate Silver and some of these big names saying, yes, the polls are close. Our analytics show that means Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You always hear the networks talking to the quote unquote undecided voters. I don't know what percentage they would make up right now of the voting population, but do you really believe there are that many people who are truly undecided about whether they want to support someone like Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump?
There aren't a ton. It's going to be a turnout election, just like every election is now. It's all turnout, because you already, for the vast majority of Americans, you know what you believe. The two sides believe such different things now that old middle ground person back from the 90s and before, they existed more then. I'm not saying there are none of them now, but those people are so politically disengaged that they don't decide a lot of elections. Now, this year may be a little bit different because you do have a little bit more of a swing because people are so sick of paying for so much.
And what are they looking for with these candidates? Like, what is it I'd want to know that truly, and I know they asked this question, but what is it that you need to hear that would put you over to one side? I don't understand. Like, what hasn't been said yet or done yet that is going to be like, boom, that's it. All right, Kamala Harris, you have my vote.
Those middle voters, again, this is a small portion of America now. But even if it's 2-3%, that can decide election right now. And they are swinging toward Donald Trump. The only thing is that they're low propensity, low information voters, and they're feeling voters.
Just what I want.
That's exactly what the DNC is going after, is feeling. You feel joy. They're using the media to do it. So it has had an impact.
I call them armadillos. When do you see armadillos?
Dead on the side of the road.
In the middle of the road, because who are these middle of the road? But who could possibly be in the middle of the road right now except an armadillo?
How could you not know?
The choices are black and white.
If you see an alive armadillo, that is such a rare. I get excited when
I
see that.
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
I have, like one or two, ever.
So this is the person who drives 55 in the left lane, right?
Yeah.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. What are you doing here? How do you not know the difference between, I don't like Donald Trump, well, I don't care, were you better off 4 years ago than you are now? If you're smart and you have a brain in your head, you're voting with your wallet right now because you've seen the direct impact of people on the left who worship at the altar of big government, and that's all it's about is feeding more into big government. If that's what you're living the results of that right now.
I tell you what, I don't know. Let me compliment what you do, Kim, what you do, what we do all the time, because it is a harder message to sell that you don't need the government. Selling independence is harder than selling handouts. It sounds nice. So you don't really have to come up with a lot other than just pick a people group and go, they are disenfranchised, and then we should benefit them, and you are in that group in a way, so you're going to get whatever blanket benefit we just made up. And they just do it over and over and over, and we slide further and further toward communism. At this point, we're already basically into socialism.
Well, because when you're selling independence, it means you actually have to get off your butt, put down the Cheeto bag and the video game console, and actually work and earn what you have, right? You're not just given it. And then people hear free this, free that. Well, we all know it's not free. We're paying for it, just like we're paying. Our tax dollars are supporting the ridiculous program the Biden administration has somehow been able to accomplish where they're, quote unquote, forgiving student loans. It's just ridiculous. People hear the word free, and they just start salivating.
Liberalism,
I'll do anything.
Liberalism is about being selfish. In my opinion, it is. You can claim you have a heart and you care about people and all this. Most people who do this, because they do it because there's some benefit in it for them.
Yep.
Period. I do believe, unless you're a limousine liberal like Mark Cuban and you don't need the government, so you don't really care what they do to the people. You just don't care.
And let me just really quick, I brought this article in because, you didn't even know we were going into this, but you're speaking to it. The principles that you're talking about aren't just successful in America. These are principles that work throughout the entire world, no matter where you are, no matter the culture. They're always a little bit different throughout time. They're always the same. That if you leave people to produce themselves, they produce more than if you tell them over and over, I'm going to take care of you from the top. China is experiencing this right now. There's that headline right there. Welfare state crumbles in China. Explosion in social unrest as youth unemployment soars. This is because China has an extremely heavy hand on the market all the time. And it's the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes.
They redistribute wealth. They're having less and less people able to generate wealth because of their heavy hand on the market. And you know that if you are in social unrest in China, you're going to get stamped down. That's how bad it's getting, that people are like, I don't care anymore. And they're not broadcasting this, so you don't see it a lot.
Tiananmen Square, you're not going to see that again?
No. But this is happening right now in China, and economists know it. That's how we know what's happening, because they can't hide their financials from the world forever, and it is imploding.
And you know what it started with? Price controls.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's exactly where the argument starts. We can't do this. The prices are going up. We can't stop it. So we're just going to control it.
Yes.
Yep.
It doesn't work. The zoo better lock up the animals. Slide. You don't want happening. Where'd that happen? Where people went to the zoo?
Venezuela.
Venezuela.
They were shopping. They were hunting at the zoo to get food.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Woo. That's the road that you head down sometimes when you... I'm not saying Kamala Harris leads us there in a year or two, but that's where the policy ends up every single time. All right. That's Ryan Wiggins. He's going to hang around in the studio. We'll be back here in just a minute.
I just wanted to send a shout-out to the legend, King Ryan Wiggins. Love you, buddy.
All right. That is Mark Wiggins calling in there this morning, so I just wanted to point that out.
I get a lot of love on your show.
I know you do,
have more
man.
Calls on your show than I do on mine, which means there's more people listening to your show.
That's funny. Of course, you can listen to Wiggins America every Saturday and now Sunday on the radio station.
Yeah, 7 to 8 in the morning on Saturday, 7 to 8 in the evening on Sunday.
Please tune in. You can always listen on the Odyssey app if you need to, where you can leave thoughtful comments like that about your love for Ryan Wiggins.
It doesn't even have to be thoughtful. If it's love, you can just blather.
Just blather it out.
I can save that for
just
you.
Just blather.
Please do.
All right. You want to use it in a promo or something?
It'll be all over the station in a minute.
It's the exact perfect length for a promo.
It really is.
There you go.
Yeah. Pithy. It's short.
If you're going to leave a comment on the Mark Cox Morning Show, be pithy or don't bother leaving a comment.
Somebody tried to leave one earlier, but they hit the button too soon. Apparently, they spoke about four words and then it cut off. And we thought about playing it, but we didn't want to embarrass them. Yeah, Carl deleted it.
My favorite is when they say punctuation, like exclamation point. Period.
Because you do that when you're leaving a text.
I know.
Like voice
I know.
To text.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done it several times for people. I'll be leaving a message on their home record. A few people still have those. And
will polls underestimate Donald Trump again? Welcome to the Real Clerk Quick Take. In 2016 and again in 2020, national and state polls consistently underestimated Trump's support. This was especially true in Wisconsin. In 2016, polls underrated Trump's finish in Wisconsin by a whopping 7.2%. 4 years later, pollsters again missed badly in the Badger State, this time by 6.0%. In Pennsylvania, pollsters underestimated Trump's strength in 2016 by 2.8%, and in Michigan by 3.9%. 4 years later, the RCP average was spot on in Pennsylvania, while polling in Michigan was better but still underestimated Trump's performance by 1.4%.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Ryan Wiggins in the house. And Ryan, I thought that report from Real Clear Politics, which is sort of a clearinghouse for polls, is pretty eye-opening. You hear all these polls, this swing state is tied, Trump's up 0.1 here, Harris is up 0.1 there. But all of these polls in the past have underestimated Donald Trump's support. All of them.
Yeah, what's interesting is that they've uniquely underestimated Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because they've done decent in the midterms. But the presidential years, the last couple cycles, they have consistently underestimated Donald Trump. Now, what I've been looking at suggests that they still are. I don't think that they've adjusted their model. It would be stupid of them to adjust their models for one person. However, that one person is now running three consecutive cycles.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a professional spot for them to be in, a tough spot, because the model typically does work, but Donald Trump consistently beats that model. So it's a weird spot to be in. I don't think they've adjusted for it again this year.
I just wonder why. I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and they're like, you know, a lot of people who are going to vote for Trump might not admit it to somebody in a conversation. They don't like the guy personally or whatever, but they know his policies were better, and they know that she's a complete left-wing wacko who's going to destroy the United States economy single-handedly with some of her crazy ideas. They're just not going to take a phone call from a complete stranger and admit to them that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Is that part of the problem, in your opinion?
It is. I think it's less so now because become so, you know, it's Donald Trump again and again. Like, okay, we know what we're getting, but there still are those people that they're calling the hidden Trump voter in the polls because they don't show up in polls. Those people probably exist, but how much they're going to exist this year, we'll see. The fact, though, that the polls are closer this year than they have in the last two presidential cycles, they have been, is good for Donald Trump. It's why you see Nate Silver and some of these big names saying, yes, the polls are close. Our analytics show that means Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
So
you always hear the networks talking to the quote unquote undecided voters. I don't know what percentage they would make up right now of the voting population. But do you really believe there are that many people who are truly undecided about whether they want to support someone like Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump?
There aren't a ton. it's going to be a turnout election, just like every election is now. It's all turnout because you already, for the vast majority of Americans, you know what you believe. The two sides believe such different things now that that old middle ground person back from the 90s and before, they existed more then. I'm not saying there are none of them now, but those people are so politically disengaged that they don't decide a lot of elections. Now, this year may be a little bit different because you do have a little bit more of a swing because people are so sick of paying for so much.
And what are they looking for with these candidates? Like, what is it I'd want to know that truly, and I know they asked this question, but what is it that you need to hear that would put you over to one side? I don't understand. Like, what hasn't been said yet or done yet that is going to be like, boom, that's it. All right, Kamala Harris, you have my vote.
Those middle voters, again, this is a small portion of America now. But even if it's 2-3%, that can decide election right now. And they are swinging toward Donald Trump. The only thing is that they're low propensity, low information voters, and they're feeling voters.
Just what I want.
That's exactly what the DNC is going after, is feeling. You feel joy. They're using the media to do it. So it has had an impact.
I call them armadillos. When do you see armadillos?
Dead on the side of the road.
In the middle of the road, because who are these middle of the road? But who could possibly be in the middle of the road right now except an armadillo?
How could you not know?
The choices are black and white.
If you see an alive armadillo, that is such a rare. I get excited when I see that.
I don't know that I've ever seen
one. I have like one or two ever.
So this is the person who drives 55 in the left lane, right?
Yeah.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. What are you doing here? How do you not know the difference between, I don't like Donald Trump. Well, I don't care. Were you better off 4 years ago than you are now? If you're smart and you have a brain in your head, you're voting with your wallet right now because you've seen the direct impact of people on the left who worship at the altar of big government. Yep. And that's all it's about is feeding more into big government. If that's what you're living the results of that right now.
I'll tell you what.
I don't know.
Let me compliment what you do, Kim, what you do, what we do all the time, because it is a harder message to sell that you don't need the government. Selling independence is harder than selling handouts. It sounds nice. So you don't really have to come up with a lot other than just pick a people group and go, they are disenfranchised. And then we should benefit them. And you are in that group in a way. So you're going to get whatever blanket benefit we just made up. And they just do it over and over and over, and we slide further and further toward communism at this point. We're already basically into socialism.
Well, because when you're selling independence, it means you actually have to get off your butt, put down the Cheeto bag and the video game console, and actually work and earn what you have, right? You're not just given it. And then people hear free this, free that. Well, we all know it's not free. We're paying for it, just like we're paying. Our tax dollars are supporting the ridiculous program the Biden administration has somehow been able to accomplish where they're, quote unquote, forgiving student loans. It's just ridiculous. People hear the word free, and they just start salivating.
I'll do anything. Liberalism is about being selfish. In my opinion, it is. You can claim you have a heart and you care about people and all this. Most people who do this, because they do it because there's some benefit in it for them.
Yep.
Period. I do believe, unless you're a limousine liberal like Mark Cuban and you don't need the government, so you don't really care what they do to the people. You just don't care.
And let me just really quick, I brought this article in because you didn't even know we were going into this, but you're speaking to it. The principles that you're talking about aren't just successful in America. These are principles that work throughout the entire world, no matter where you are, no matter the culture. They're always a little bit different throughout time. They're always the same. That if you leave people to produce themselves, they produce more than if you tell them over and over, I'm going to take care of you from the top. China is experiencing this right now. There's that headline right there. Welfare state crumbles in China. Explosion in social unrest as youth unemployment soars. This is because China has an extremely heavy hand on the market all the time. And they are, I mean, it's the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes.
They redistribute wealth. They're having less and less people able to generate wealth because of their heavy hand on the market. And you know that if you are in social unrest in China, you're going to get stamped down. That's how bad it's getting, that people are like, I don't care anymore. And they're not broadcasting this, so you don't see it a lot.
Tiananmen Square. You're not going to see that again?
No. But this is happening right now in China, and economists know it. That's how we know what's happening, because they can't hide their financials from the world forever, and it is imploding.
And you know what it started with? Price controls.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's exactly where the argument starts. We can't do this. The prices are going up. We can't stop it. So we're just going to control it.
Yes.
Yep.
It the zoo better work. Lock it's up the animals. Slide. You don't want happening. Where'd that happen? Where people went to the zoo?
Venezuela.
Venezuela.
They were shopping. They were hunting at the zoo to get food.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Woo. That's the road that you head down sometimes when you. I'm not saying Kamala Harris leads us here in a year or two, but that's where the policy ends up every single time. All right. That's Ryan Wiggins. He's going to hang around in the studio. We'll be back here in just a minute.
I just wanted to send a shout out to the legend, King Ryan Wiggins. Love you, buddy.
All right. That is Mark Wiggins calling in there this morning. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out.
I get a lot of love on your show.
I know you do,
I get more
man.
Calls on your show than I do on mine, which means there's more people listening to your show.
That's funny. Of course, you can listen to Wiggins America every Saturday and now Sunday on the radio station.
Yeah, 7 to 8 in the morning on Saturday, 7 to 8 in the evening on Sunday.
Please tune in. You can always listen on the Odyssey app if you need to, where you can leave thoughtful comments like that about your love for Ryan Wiggins.
It doesn't even have to be thoughtful. If it's love, you can just blather.
Just blather it out.
I can save that for
just
you.
Just blather.
Please do.
All right.
You want to use it in a promo or something?
It'll be all over the station in a minute.
It's the exact perfect length for a promo.
It really is.
There you go.
Yeah. Pithy. It's short. Yeah,
if you're going to leave a comment on the Mark Cox Morning Show, be pithy or don't bother leaving a comment.
Somebody tried to leave one earlier, but they hit the button too soon. Apparently, they spoke about four words and then it cut off. And we thought about playing it, but we didn't want to embarrass them. Carl deleted it.
My favorite is when they say punctuation, like exclamation point. Period.
Because you do that when you're leaving a text.
I know.
Like voice
I know.
To text.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done it several times for people. I'll be leaving a message on their home record. A few people still have those, and you're like, period. What did I say?
Question mark. Comma.
Question mark. Exclamation point.
Are you home?
Semicolon.
Yeah.
Why does Mark Cox keep calling me and saying period?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, back to this shooting in Georgia, I bring this up because they had the hearing this morning for not just the suspect in this school shooting, but for his dad. And I wanted to talk about this real quick. Listen to here.
In coordination with District Attorney Brad Smith, the GBI has arrested Colin Gray, age 54, in connection to the shooting here at Appalachie High School. Colin is Colt Gray's father that was arrested yesterday. He is charged with the following: 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. Mr. Gray, these charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
Gave it to him for Christmas is the report I'm reading this morning. Very dysfunctional family. Mom's got a long history of abuse and drugs and this sort of thing. And the father, knowing a year ago that the kid might have threatened to shoot up a middle school, bought him an AR-15 for Christmas and gave it to him. Like, clearly with no supervision of what he might do with it. I mean, there's so much wrong there. My point on this earlier yesterday, Ryan, was that until there are more people charged, parents, you're going to see more of this. And John Miller was commenting on this earlier. He's a former Homeland Security guy, and I think he was in the FBI for a while. And he said, I think you should expect, we should have been doing this for years. You can go down the list of school shootings, Parkland, Florida, the one up on the East Coast. All of these were situations where people who otherwise wouldn't have been able to get a gun had parents who knew their kids had mental health issues and gave them access to a weapon anyway. And in very few cases have the parents ever been charged in those cases. That's going, just the liability of it should wake a few people up if a few more people are charged.
I'm glad to hear that's your position on this, because I completely agree. There are so many policy angles that people come at this, and everybody's trying to solve it. I get that. That's good. We should be trying to solve this issue. But I've heard people say, even in conservative circles, you know, hey, you know, why our stadiums are like fortresses. You can't get into those with a gun. Why don't we make our schools like that? Well, that's a nice idea. But do you know how many more schools there are than stadiums? It's a lot. It would be a lot of money. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff, like more mental health screening and all these things. That's all good. But this one, to me, is an immediate great policy shift that we can make as a country that should deter. It won't fix all of it, but it should deter some of it.
But the left doesn't want to embrace that because it would distract from their hatred of guns in general. Like this case with the school shooter at the Gateway Performing Arts Center over here, Visual Performing Arts. They never charged the guy that gave the gun, sold the gun to the guy who couldn't have walked into a gun store and bought one, but he did buy one from this guy who had bought and sold 50 guns that year but wasn't a dealer. And the FBI opted not to charge him with anything. And I'm amazed by that. I mean, I'm the biggest Second Amendment guy you might know. But I think that is wrong. And if you're not going to enforce the laws on the books, don't cry to me about needing more laws.
Yeah. If this is a minor doing it, the parents should always be under absolutely incredible scrutiny.
Yes, they should. Well said, sir. All right, everybody have a great weekend. I'm off Monday. Kim will be here. And we got news. We are going to be airing the debate on 97.1 on Tuesday night. You can listen to it live right here. And we'll see you back here next week. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I just wanted to send a shout out to the legend, King Ryan Wiggins. Love you, buddy.
All right, that is Mark Wiggins calling in there this morning, so I just wanted to point that out.
I get a lot of love on your show.
I know you do,
I get more
man.
Calls on your show than I do on mine, which means there's more people listening to your show.
That's funny. Of course, you can listen to Wiggins America every Saturday and now Sunday on the radio station.
Yeah, 7 to 8 in the morning on Saturday, 7 to 8 in the evening on Sunday.
Please tune in. You can always listen on the Odyssey app if you need to, where you can leave thoughtful comments like that. About your love for Ryan Wiggins.
It doesn't even have to be thoughtful. If it's love, you can just blather.
Just blather it out.
I can save that for
just
you.
Blather.
Please do.
All right.
You want to use it in a promo or something?
It'll be all over the station in a minute.
It's the exact perfect length for a promo.
Yeah. It really
there
is.
There you go.
Yeah. Pithy. It's short. Yeah,
if you're going to leave a comment on the Mark Cox Morning Show, be pithy or don't bother leaving a comment.
Somebody tried to leave one earlier, but they hit the button too soon. Apparently, they spoke about four words and then it cut off. And we thought about playing it, but we didn't want to embarrass them. Carl deleted it.
My favorite is when they say punctuation, like exclamation point. Period.
Because you do that when you're leaving a text.
I know.
Like voice
I know.
To text.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done it several times for people. I'll be leaving a message on their home record. A few people still have those, and you're like, period. What did I say?
Question mark. Comma.
Question mark. Exclamation point.
Are you home?
Semicolon.
Yeah.
Why does Mark Cox keep calling me and saying period?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, back to the shooting in Georgia. I bring this up because they had the hearing this morning for not just the suspect in this school shooting, but for his dad. And I wanted to talk about this real quick. Listen to here.
In coordination with District Attorney Brad Smith, the GBI has arrested Colin Gray, age 54, in connection to the shooting here at Appalachia High School. Colin is Colt Gray's father that was arrested yesterday. He is charged with the following: 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. Mr. Gray, these charges stem from Mr. Gray knowingly allowing his son, Colt, to possess a weapon.
Gave it to him for Christmas is the report I'm reading this morning. Very dysfunctional family. Mom's got a long history of abuse and drugs and this sort of thing. And the father, knowing a year ago that the kid might have threatened to shoot up a middle school, bought him an AR-15 for Christmas and gave it to him. Like, clearly with no supervision of what he might do with it. I mean, there's so much wrong there. My point on this earlier yesterday, Ryan, was that until there are more people charged, parents, you're going to see more of this. And John Miller was commenting on this earlier. He's a former Homeland Security guy, and I think he was in the FBI for a while. And he said, I think you should expect, we should have been doing this for years. You can go down the list of school shootings, Parkland, Florida, the one up on the East Coast, all of these were situations where people who otherwise wouldn't have been able to get a gun had parents who knew their kids had mental health issues and gave them access to a weapon anyway. And in very few cases have the parents ever been charged in those cases. That's going, just the liability of it should wake a few people up if a few more people are charged.
I'm glad to hear that's your position on this, because I completely agree. There are so many policy angles that people come at this, and everybody's trying to solve it. I get that. That's good. We should be trying to solve this issue. But I've heard people say, even in conservative circles, you know, hey, you know, why our stadiums are like fortresses. You can't get into those with a gun. Why don't we make our schools like that? Well, that's a nice idea. But do you know how many more schools there are than stadiums? It's a lot. It would be a lot of money. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff, like more mental health screening and all these things. That's all good. But this one, to me, is an immediate great policy shift that we can make as a country that should deter. It won't fix all of it, but it should deter some of it.
But the left doesn't want to embrace that because it would distract from their hatred of guns in general. Like this case with the school shooter at the Gateway Performing Arts Center over here, Visual Performing Arts. They never charged the guy that gave the gun, sold the gun to the guy who couldn't have walked into a gun store and bought one, but he did buy one from this guy who had bought and sold 50 guns that year but wasn't a dealer. And the FBI opted not to charge him with anything. And I'm amazed by that. I mean, I'm the biggest Second Amendment guy you might know. But I think that is wrong. And if you're not going to enforce the laws on the books, don't cry to me about needing more laws.
Yeah. If this is a minor doing it, the parents should always be under incredible scrutiny.
Yes, they should. Well said, sir. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. I'm off Monday. Kim will be here. And we got news. We are going to be airing the debate on 97.1 on Tuesday night. You can listen to it live right here. And we'll see you back here next week. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.